Thank you for your faithfulness. Just one word of correction, though. Remember, we don't pay our tithes. What do? We return God's tithes to Him. So, but you understand the heart with which it was said. Turn to somebody to your left and to your right, in front of you and behind you, and groet hulle ernstig met Jesus liefde. Remember, a stranger is simply a friend that you've not yet met. So I want to encourage you, do what I do. Go to somebody and say, hi, my name is Mozzie. Hoe like jy my so ver? But don't use my name. 10-10-1 gaan hulle jou klap. So ja, moet dit nie doen nie. Hallelujah. Bless you. What do good, solid, word-based, Bible-teaching, demon-chasing, tongue-talking churches do in the beginning of the year? What do? Yes, they fast and pray. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to fast and we're going to pray. Folks, it's that time of the year again. Dion announced it from the 16th to the 22nd. We're going to declare and proclaim a fast here in the church. What I'm going to do, I've tweaked it a bit as the Lord has laid on my heart to make some changes from last year, but proclaim a fast and give us topics for each day. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to pop it up on the sound engineers are going to pop it up on the screen that you can take a photo that you have it with you. It's got the day, the topic, and then a scripture reference for you to meditate on and pray specifically for that. I want to say this, guys, about prayer and fasting. I know that at the very, very, very least, if there's no spiritual breakthrough in your life, at the very, very least, your body is going to benefit. At the very least, there's going to be some physical detoxing in your body. You might go through a period or a phase where your body starts telling you what you've been doing to it. And it manifests in different people's lives, in different ways. Some people get headaches. Some people, their urine changes color. Some people break out in acne. Some people get aches and pains. Your body is simply telling you what you've been doing to it. But the gist of it, folks, is we're living in desperate, desperate times. We really, really need God to change and do sovereign miracles in our lives personally. How many of you are in need of a miracle personally in your life? You could do with a miracle. And what about this nation? So much more so. And this is not a case of coming to God and twisting His arm, because it doesn't do that. So we're going to lay the foundation for that this morning. And I really trust God that by next week this time, this church is going to be changed. 1, 2, 3 people. I'm trusting God that by next week, this time, brothers and sisters, this church is going to be changed. Our lives are going to be changed. Why? Because we've taken the time to humble ourselves and come before God. And the way and the order in which God put these topics together for me, I was like, you know, guys, sermons become real when the pastor takes the sermon and puts it in his heart, and then puts his heart into the sermon. But he can only put his heart into the sermon once he's put the sermon into his heart. And this challenged my heart. I'm like, Lord, this is me. I've got all these issues. I've got to stand before people and declare this to them. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And that's what this is about, guys and ladies. We're going to take this time to proclaim and declare this fast before the Lord. And the topics that God has laid in my heart is really, really challenging. I want to start off to lay a foundation with the first scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Then if my people, which people? My people, not the heathens, not the atheists, not the evolutionists, not the whoever's, not the occult worshippers or whatever, my people. If you feel that you're God's people, raise your hand this morning. What makes you a child of God? The fact that you come to church, right? No. Yo, I love this church. Yellow as scarps as a menorah lamb. The fact that you're born again, that makes you a child of God. Nie lidmaatskap van 'n gemeente iewerste julle, of wat julle doen op Sondag, maar die werklikheid van wat binne in jou hart gebeur, daar waar niemand sien. Dis wat bepaal of jy 'n kind van die Here is of nie. And when it comes to Christianity, people say, well, you know, how can someone do this? They call themselves a Christian. I thought they were this and I thought they were that. And you see these things in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, in this walk of ours, fruit is everything. Waarvan praat ek? Die vrug van jou lewe dit wat ons sien in jou lewe, fruit, when it comes to Christianity, is everything. It's everything. Maak dit sin. So I'm trusting that God will help us get to a place where we allow Him to work in our lives as we humble ourselves and get Him to produce fruit in our lives that has never been there before. So it says, if my people who are called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves. Never pray a prayer and say, God, humble me. That's not the scriptural pattern. The scriptural pattern is that we humble ourselves. Ek kom voor die Here and I say, Lord, I need grace. I need forgiveness. Lord, I need another chance and another chance and another chance. En Here, ek weet ek het hoeveel keer hierso beloof en ek sê gaan nooit weer nie. En voordat ek die nonsens uit my oë uitvee, I'm doing it again. That's why, God, I need you. If my people, that's us, brothers and sisters, who are called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves. That's what we're doing. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How many of you have wicked ways in your lives? How many of you have sinned this week? How many of you have sinned this morning? Okay, the numbers are getting less. It's good. It's good. So the guy, he says, I haven't said any bad words. I haven't been nasty to anybody. I haven't done any evil deeds. I haven't thought any ungodly thoughts. Pretty soon, I'm going to get out of bed, and I'm sure the rest of the day is going to go just as well. Yeah, and then we go out, and the time meets the road, and we face the real life. We'll turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I want to serve a God that hears. I want to serve a God that speaks, a God that I can hear. I don't just want to worship a God of some childhood storybook character about things that happened long ago that none of us have ever even seen. I want to serve a God that's real, that's alive, that's present here in the midst of my troubles and the midst of my issues. And He says, I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and restore their land. How many of you know that we need restoration in South Africa, ladies and gentlemen? I had the privilege last week for a few days of doing something extremely difficult. I went on a hike. There's a scale of hiking of 1 to 10. This hike was a 9. I mean, told by the experts, Woody, ek het my moeg geloop nie. I lost control of my legs eventually. I was only walking by sheer willpower because the tank was empty. I promise you, I thought I was ready because I ride a mountain bike 120 kilometers. Nee, wat? Ek was nie gereed nie. That's another kind of physical exertion. Ek was op. When I started the hike, there were 12 of us, 8 guys, 4 girls, and I saw the girls and I thought, ach, no problem, man. I'm not going to be the weakest link in this group. I had serious humble pie. What's the point? I got to see places of this country that I've never seen before. It was spectacularly beautiful. Organs pipes pass, mics pass, tum tums pass, I don't know what other pass, and just all in all, I wanted to 8 pass, yeah. That's it, Kobus. Like 8 pass. Spectacularly beautiful. And my heart was filled with like hope and expectancy. God, please don't let this country go down the drain. Don't let this country go down the drain. And so many times when we speak, we say, when are they going to do something about this? When are they? You know who the they folks are, ladies and gentlemen, that has the solution for this nation? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, God doesn't have another plan but us. There isn't something or somebody else that He's going to send from heaven. There isn't a new revelation that He's going to give other than what's already between Genesis and maps. Sy woord is is geskrewe, dis daar. It's there. It's us. The answer lays with us. And that's going to bring about restoration and healing in this land. And I want that, guys, ladies, and I want that. But what challenged me about this morning is that we're going to see where it starts. And it speaks, that passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, speaks about us humbling ourselves. The most effective way for us to humble ourselves is to fast. There is no better way to humble yourselves because it disciplines the flesh. Human beings, we've said this before and it's worth repeating again. We have 4 appetites. We have four appetites. We have an appetite for spiritual things, an appetite for physical things. We have a sexual appetite, and we have an appetite for food. The strongest appetite of those is the appetite for food. When we bring that appetite into subjection and lordship, subjection to the lordship of Jesus, our appetites, rest of our appetites will fall in line. So that's what it's about. It's about humbling ourselves, getting the flesh to say, shut up and listen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body, bringing it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. What he's basically saying, he says to the flesh, flesh, you want your way. But the born again me, the me in whom Jesus lives is in charge. And you will listen and you will submit to what I'm going to say. So the most effective way for us to humble ourselves is through fasting. We're just going to touch on it very, very briefly this morning. If you want an in-depth teaching on fasting, I preached a sermon series in 2017 called Prayer, Fasting, and Hearing God's Voice. It's on our website. Go in there and you'll get the meat of this. But in a nutshell, fasting enables us to humble ourselves easier. It sensitizes our spirits to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We become more sensitive. To hear God's voice clearer, we utilize more time to meditate on Scripture and increase our awareness of God's presence. And that by no means is a complete list of the benefits of fasting. So the attitude with which we should have during fasting is depicted in Scripture. You do not have to follow. It's 11 verses quickly, which I'm going to read. But it tells you this is the attitude, the mindset, the frame of mind that we should have when we enter into our fast. Don't think, oh, yeah, you know, Mozzie, I'm too busy. My physical job is too demanding. Ek moet krag hê vir die nag, of krag vir die dag en die nag, or whatever. Krag, want is nag. Dis nou nag hier, so, or whatever. Your physical body has reserves of energy. Some more than others. You have reserves of energy. Guys, we have these love handles here, wherever. We have reserves of energy. And when you guys are like, I can't eat meer nie. So God, I went out there and I only died of hunger in 3 days. No, you can't die of hunger in 3 days. You can get by without physical damage with water for 3 days, but not food. You can get by for 40 days without food. Don't try that unless you've heard from the Lord. Rarafar. As you can see, I'm a very, very well-built, huge, muscular man. My muscles are round here somewhere. And this side, they're hard to find. This one's called Dez, and this one's called Troy, and together they destroy. Boy, Yera, help me. Some of you believe in the impossible. That's why you're cheering. I'm a small man, and I remember one of the earlier times, the early days, learning about fasting. Yes, ek het gewig verloor, julle, and you see it on this little geraamte for my knee. And I was like, Lord, what about my clothes? Like, what am I going to wear? And I don't remember reading it recently or meditating on it recently, but this came up to me in my spirit. The Lord said, I'll dress you in the armor of light. And when I get something that I think is from the Lord, I always, always, always test it against the word. I wanted to see. And so waar is vrachtig, there's a scripture that speaks about the armor of light. So God will get you through what he calls you to, my brother, my sister. If he's calling you to a really, really lengthy fast, he'll equip you and enable you to do that. And those of you that have been on this journey before will know that the most difficult part of fasting is not abstinence from food. Because you get to a place after the third day, for me, jy verloor jou eetlus. You're no longer hungry. It's breaking the fast. Breaking the fast is the hardest part because you know that when you can eat, but enige iets wat nie vasgemaak is nie, nee, dan gaan jy eet. And you eat it and you can do damage to your body. You're going to break the fast gently, depending, of course, on how long you fast and what your dietary habits are. So in a nutshell, just to lay more of a foundation, what frames frame of mind and mindset do we have when we're going to fasting? This is from Isaiah 58, from verse 1. I'm just going to read it. You can just meditate on it. Just sit, relax, and receive this. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Well, I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do that. And yet they act so pious. They act like, you know, else is okay. I'm not sinning. This is just lifestyle. This is just habit. This is, oh, come on, man. Relax a little. God understands. Just have a little bit of fun, man. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to hear me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. Well, I'll tell you why, I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. This is what God says He wants now. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. You know, unless I know you're coming, if you ring my doorbell, I don't open up. And also because people come to serve summonses and I don't receive those performance awards. Why am I telling you this? I'm being honest, yeah. Hey, your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. You know, Ephesians 6 speaks about the armor of God and it speaks about nothing about protecting you from the back. Have you ever noticed that? The armor of God is about going forward. But what about the back? We're vulnerable. When the enemy comes, and he fang you on kant af, and says, the Lord will be your rear guard. The Lord will protect you. What does that mean? He says, He's not going to let the devil sucker punch you. My brother, my sister, He's not going to let the devil sucker punch you. God has got your six. Military Oaks will know what I'm talking about. He's got your back. God will protect you from behind. And then you will call, the Lord will answer, yes, I'm here. He will quickly reply, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then, everybody say then. So that means these conditions have to be met first. Then your light will shine out from the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. Wow, wat beteken dit? Dit beteken dat oralste waar jy gaan, you'll be the difference maker. You'll be the catalyst of change. You'll be the one that's doing the influencing instead of other people influencing you. You'll be the one that's influencing people. That's what it means. Where even the darkness around you will be light. And then the Lord will guide you continuously. Lord, I need this. Giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Okay. That's the mindset and the frame of mind that we have when we enter into this period of fasting. Fasting is a cure for unbelief. I'm going to give you a passage, a reference, just for notes. We're not going to turn there. Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. We see an account where people tried to deliver a person from a demon and they couldn't. And they speak and they ask Jesus why. And he says, because of the unbelief in your heart. And he says, nevertheless, this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. Some Bible scholars teach that there are certain kind of demons that cannot come out of people unless you pray and fast. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's a single demon that is not subject to the name of Jesus. What Jesus is speaking about, and I submitted to you, he's speaking about types of unbelief. He says, because of your unbelief, but there are various kinds. Immediately his sentence follows on after that. There are various kinds of unbelief. And fasting is a cure for unbelief. So I don't believe there's a big, strong demon that can only come out because he's not subject to the name of Jesus. No, a human being has to abstain from food for that demon to be subject to the name of Jesus. Folks, I don't believe that's theologically sound. I believe that what Jesus is teaching, that there are kinds of unbelief in people that is so deep-rooted that only through prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit gives them a breakthrough, a revelation, a word from God. They set free. They no longer have their unbelief. God can work through them. That's what I believe. You're entitled to believe what you want to, but that's what I teach. I don't believe there's a single demon that is not subject to the Lordship of Jesus. Whatever you believe, I do believe there's a hierarchy and a rank structure in the spiritual realm with angels as well as demons, but this is what Jesus is teaching, and fasting breaks unbelief. Okay, so our prayer and fasting topics for this week are as follows. One per day, that's all. So you take the scripture and you meditate on it. Read it, listen to it, read it in different translations, and say, Lord, speak to me through this word. Show me, al is it the text says, wat jy ken van voor tot achter, meditate on it, and trust God to give you the breakthrough. Is that okay, church? Are you still with me? Everybody still hungry? Good, because you're going to get hungry, or you should get hungry. And you can choose how you want to fast. You can fast just chocolates or you can fast just meat, or you can fast just vegetables. People are like, yes, I'm fasting vegetables. The pastor says, I don't have to eat vegetables. Mom, no, don't do that. There are certain activities that you can fast as well, like something that you really, really enjoy, like gossiping or something. Just stop it, okay? There are activities that you can fast, but if you really want to discipline your flesh, abstaining from food, my brother and my sister will do it like nothing else. So you can either fast one meal a day. Some people, they don't have breakfast, they don't have lunch, maar come evening time, dan verorber hulle eet hulle self raak. And then it's like nothing, I'm not having one meal a day, no. Do something, whatever you need to do to get yourself hungry, so that when you're hungry, you take, okay, Lord, I'm hungry now. You remember, okay, I'm praying for this specifically. This is our topic. I'm not alone in this. There are other Christians going with me in this challenge and the struggle, and we're going to do this, and together we're trusting God for a breakthrough. Do what it takes in your life to get hungry, my brother, my sister. So I'd encourage you, strict biblical fasting is where there's abstinence from food and it is water only. Okay, maybe you've never done it before. You want to go just on fruit juices or just not like gassy cold drinks, please. Just this for your cell, for your gestel, it's not good. So don't say I'm fasting and all I'm having is I'm having Coke Diet, okay, or Pepsi Light or whatever Sprite for the night. Of I don't know what it is, but you do not mind. Okay, Monday. The first thing tomorrow is humility. Just humility. Say, Lord, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we're going to somehow use that scripture that we started off. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And when you pray, please don't say, Lord, humble me. No, you don't want God to humble you. The scriptural pattern is that you humble yourself. Say, Lord, I'm humbling myself. How do you humble yourself? Just simply come into God and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I don't have my act all together like people think. Some people, they're so smooth, they can roll uphill. Just admit to God and say, Lord, I need help. I don't have my act together, Lord. I need help. Help me, Jesus. That's humility. Say, Lord, I'm a saint who sometimes sins. Help me, Jesus. So day one, we're going to humble ourselves. That's the foundation scripture, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And then James verse 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. And folks, this next verse is what really rattled my cage in this sermon preparation. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. And it says, for the time has come for judgment. And it must begin with God's household. Judgment must begin with God's household. Met ander woorde, wat het ons om uit te voer as ons het nie reg kan kry hier binne-in nie? If we cannot show Christian love one to another, what business do I have telling people about the love of Jesus out there? Come on, mensen. Ons sien mekaar gereeld. Those of you that fellowship regularly in the care groups with each other, know each other even better. We know each other when you're at your best and when you're at your worst. And if we cannot love each other like this, dan wil ek daar in die straat, in die wêreld, gaan verkondig oor God se liefde. Where I refuse to get along with so-and-so, broer of sister so-and-so, wat 6 rye achter my sit. So, the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. So let's humble ourselves and say, God, show me. Holy Spirit, I'm doing the best I can, but show me still if there's any error in my heart that grieves the Spirit of God. Any error in my heart, Lord, that's not pleasing to you, Lord. Show me, Lord, maybe there's something about me that's just, it doesn't spur people on to live a life of Christianity. Show me, Lord. So Monday is humility. Are you looking forward to Monday? Tuesday is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Folks, I submit to you, and I put myself in the front of this row. If us as preachers preached as much about the fear of the Lord and holiness as we do about God's goodness or abundance or blessings, this whole world would be different. If we preached as much about holiness as we do about grace, this whole world would look different. South Africa would be different. We want to hear about grace. We want to hear about forgiveness and all the blessings. God will bless you with your going in and your coming out, your lying down and your eyes are blessed, blessed. Or what about the fear of the Lord and holiness? Yes, He's a God of love, but He's also a God of holiness. Perfect, perfect holiness and righteousness. How do we think that God would bash His own Son and let you slide? Really? He would bruise and break His own Son, allow Him to fall into the hands of sinners, and He'll just let us slide because He's a God of mercy and grace. Nee, julle, dit is nie die God van die Bybel nie. He's a God of righteousness. So may we learn the fear of the Lord again. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Like, oh, ek kan nie na hom toe kom nie. No, it's a reverential fear and respect. I respect Him because He's holy. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. I can come into the throne room of grace, yes, boldly because of the completed work of the cross, but God remains a holy God. So Tuesday is the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. And folks, we need God's great wisdom to navigate these trying times. Stel jou nou voor, jy was in Salomo se posisie. Two women stand before him. There's one child living, the other one has died, and they're both claiming that the child is theirs. Wat doen jy? See the wisdom that Solomon had? He said, okay, no problem. Cut the child in two, and each woman take half. And the real mother said, no, 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 let my child live. That's wisdom. You see, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is not a vegetable, it's a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. Knowledge is knowing that the Bible says that you must obey the laws of the land. Wisdom is knowing that it doesn't mean that you can now indulge in pornography and abortion. Anybody listening this morning? Can you see any verskil tussen wysheid en kennis? The scripture says, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, I believe it is. I'm not sure. It's in the Bible. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. There we go. I need wisdom. I need wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, Wednesday. Sometimes I think as a pastor, every day is Wednesday, because I wonder, when's they going to do what we teach them to do, Lord? I don't know when's they're going to do it. Wednesday, we need endurance. Julle op daai hike, I was taking every supplement I had and everything I knew om my aan die gang te hou. En nie gewerk nie, ek was net op. These little number 11s, hulle was finished. And I needed endurance. Uithouvermoë. Deursettingsvermoë. Endurance. Why? Because I say so. No, because we're living in 2023 in South Africa. We need endurance. We need endurance, folks. Hoeveel meer van hierdie nonsens kan ons nog vat? How much more of it can we take? I don't know. You know, South Africans have an ability that when tragedy strikes and something goes wrong, kort, grappe, kom daar uit. We deal with it by making jokes about it, isn't it? But sometimes deep inside, we're still busy dying slowly. Is it nie so nie? So we need endurance. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all He has promised. So let's trust God to enable us to not give up when the going gets tough. To not throw in the towel and say, that's it, I'm finished, I'm done, I'm out of here, it's over. No, Lord, we need endurance. And when we pray and when we fast, let's trust that God would enable us to do this. Moving on to Thursday. It's been a good week so far. There's been breakthroughs. We've humbled ourselves. The fear of the Lord is growing in our hearts. The endurance is growing in us. And we're feeling the strength of the Lord enabling us. And number four, Thursday is the body of Christ. Dis die liggaam van Christus. Dis ons julle. Jy weet, meeste van die gebede in die Bybel is vir die liggaam van Christen, van Christus en nie die ongereddes nie. Did you know that? Most of the prayers in the Bible is for the church because we need God's help. I mean, look at us. We're like weird creatures, man. Ons is crazy mense. And God knows that. We need His help. Christians are funny things. Okay? So we're going to pray for the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27. It says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Say, I am a part of Christ's body. That's you. What a privilege, my brother, my sister. You're a part of the body of Christ. You know the only thing that we can take with us when we go to heaven is people. People. That's it. Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Asseblief toch? Come on, man. Be patient with each other. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. That means, you see, dis die plek waar jy kan beweeg, mos. Nie 1 millimeter linkerkant toe of regterkant toe, vorentoe of agtertoe, because jy gaan af. Amper sê, lukse, maar dis 'n vloekwoord. Amper sê, gaan jy afval, maar jy kan nie. Jy kan nie. Just grace, man. Hey, just be grace. And just make room for each other's faults. Make room for each other's faults. Oh, but I thought for the first time visitors, hey, dis nou maar lekker kerk hierdie. It's such a lekker church. Yes, just keep coming to church till a brother or sister rubs you up the wrong way. Dan ewe skielik is hierdie kerk nie meer so lekker nie. I mean, this church has got lots of faults. Look at it. I'm the pastor. I mean, really? So make room for each other's mistakes. The body of Christ, mense. Don't let the devil come bring a wedge between us. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, it says. All right? Binding yourselves together with peace. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Make every effort. Binding yourselves together with peace. Let's pray that we don't let Satan destroy our unity. Let's pray that we learn to make every effort to stay united in the Spirit. And when we speak about the body of Christ, please remember that it means your local church. It means your local church. The body of Christ, is your local church, is included in that. Yeah, we go. It's Friday. Woohoo! Dinamika is op ons julle. Pray for an exposure of evil. That it's exposed. Dat ons het sien. That it gets brought into the light. You know, sometimes the power of sin is in its secrecy. But when it's brought into the light, darkness has to flee. How many of you have had the privilege of ever going through the Oudtshoorn, the Kango caves in Oudtshoorn? See the Oudtshoorn grotte, and you see Kango grotte, Kango caves in Oudtshoorn. And they show you that example there of that little candlelight that one of the first discoverers found. Die klein lichie. The light is like a darkness sucker. When the light's there, it sucks all the darkness into it. And it goes in there. Just that little bit of light makes a difference. It makes a difference. So pray that light comes and exposes that which is evil. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 says this. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Let's pray that God exposes it. And guys, when we say this, let's pray that it gets exposed at every level of society. Right from the very, very lowest, socially speaking, right up to top parliamentary level, to the leaders of this nation, the decision makers in parliament. Pray that it gets exposed, and once it's exposed, that godly justice comes to pass. You know, people speak of the wheels of justice. I don't know if there is a wheel that turns slower than the wheels of justice. But they turn. Why do I say that? People say, yeah, what goes around comes around. Nee, die wiel draai. The Bible calls it, what you sow, you will reap. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. And you know, this is a bitter pill to swallow. I wish it wasn't the truth, but it's factually true. Sometimes we will not see it come to pass in this lifetime. Only one day when we stand before God in judgment of all, the judgment of nations, our personal judgment, and the reward ceremony for our good or bad deeds. But until such time, folks, keep on being a champion of the truth of the Word of God. And pray that they say, what use is it, Mozzie? The cops are corrupt, the judges are corrupt, the courts do nothing, I've laid cases, nothing happens. Keep on keeping on. Francis of us, it wasn't him. Can't remember who. Well, some clever oak in the past said this. And so now I always say, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. That's all. That's all. How many of you need to go into the garden and plant weeds? You moet specific saad gaan koop vir onkruid en 'n dag gaan neem. Jy word in die oggend wakker oor en jy los daai stuk gras back vir 3 dae, 4 dae as lekker green is. You got to go and get those weeds out. So let's trust that God exposes the evil deeds. The scripture says that which is whispered in the ear will be shouted from the rooftops. And everything that's done in secret, everything that's done in secret will be brought out into the light. And guess what? That includes us. Phew. No klap ons nie aan nie, nee. That includes us. Lord, that stuff that happens here and here and here. And what? So that you can be katazad. No, so say, Lord, I've blown it. Sorry, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I need grace. Okay, that's Friday. Saturday, holiness. 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 Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone. I just wish it didn't say work. I just wish it says, yeah. Enjoy the peace that naturally exists amongst the brethren. So dit nie lekkerder gewees het nie, julle. Enjoy the peace that's just there. All you need to do is just go find the peace. There it is. No, work at living in peace. It's going to take work, brothers and sisters, to enjoy these things. Nothing worthwhile in life has been free anyway. Nee? If it's easy, everybody would be doing it. Everybody would be doing it, but it's not. But it's worth it. Work at living in peace with everyone. And you know, one of the hallmarks of the kingdom of God is balance. I love the balance that the scripture brings. So this one says, Hebrews 12 and verse 14, says work at living at peace with everyone. And Romans 12 and verse 18, it says, as far as it is up to you, live at peace with everyone. Because there comes a time where you've done everything you possibly can. You put your head down on your pillow at night and your conscience is completely clean before God. You know, you've done your best to restore relationship and other people just refuse point blank. Hulle vloek jou in jou gesig en man, gaan vlieg in jou maai in. They just refuse. Hot hearts. So there's that. That's how we need Jesus. Work at living at peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you know that good people don't get to heaven? Good people don't get to heaven. Those who are born again, those who love the Lord, those are the ones who make it into heaven. Okay, so ask God to restore holiness to our lives. Care groups, there's a spelling mistake here. It says, ask good to restore holiness to our lives. It's God, okay? Apologize for that. Ask God to restore holiness to our lives. There must be a clear distinction between the world and Christ's church. As ons daar buite lewe, is daar verskil. Sien mense die verskil in ons lewens? Do they don't know we're Christians because our lifestyles and the way we act and treat each other is exactly the same as in the world. Do they know we're Christians by the love that we have for one another? And then Sunday, last but by no means least, gratitude. Having an attitude of gratitude. Dankbaarheid. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. May I never forget the good things He does for me. May God help us to always have an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to ask the sound engineers to put that slide up. I hope it works, guys. That one with the seven prayer topics. I hope it comes up. Just to summarize what we're going to be looking at. What I encourage you to do, please take a photo of that on your phones. Last year we gave out bookmarks. This year we're giving out a slide for you to take a photo. I need to move, Colette says. Rarig? Am I in the way? Photo bomb. Okay. Take a picture that it's on your phone. May I come forward now, love? No. I'll humble myself and I'll stay here. Okay. So, to recap, there it is. Monday, we're going to ask God, Lord, help us as we humble ourselves before you. Judgment starts at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Tuesday, for the fear of the Lord. That's the foundation for wisdom. Wednesday, endurance. Here gee vir ons deursettingsvermoë, because it's difficult the world over and in South Africa. Thursday, the body of Christ, as our interpersonal relationships are healthy and thriving in the Lord. Friday, exposure of evil. Saturday, holiness, that we live holy and pure lives. And Sunday, with an attitude of gratitude. Folks, it's been a lengthy teaching. I get that. But I trust that God ministers to your life. I pray that you seek God's wisdom for you specifically as to how many meals, how many days, how to go about it. But trust that God is going to give a breakthrough in your life for this. Is that okay? Folks, trust God with me that next week, this time, this church is going to be different. We're going to be different. Our hearts are going to be changed. All right? And when you feel you want to give in and just say it's becoming too difficult, remember that there's other brothers and sisters with you that are going through the same thing. Thank you so much for making the time to listen. We love you dearly. I pray that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all as you enter into this week. I'm going to ask let's get the deep end up. One. The deep end is good ministry, isn't it? Amen. Get the deep end up to minister to us one more time. Remember, straight after the service in the chill zone. The chill zone is that lovely area to my right-hand side. It's an ask your team. Any question that you have, you want to ask the Handlebar team. We're going to make ourselves available for you to ask us. And God willing, we'll give you a satisfactory answer. Join us afterwards. Thank you, guys and ladies. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you, deep end.